You know the emoji on our phones where the head is kind of exploding? When I truly understood the difference between these two things, I felt like that emoji, and it has changed every aspect of my life.
Hey, it's great to have you back for another episode of the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. And I am indescribably excited to introduce my good friend and guest who is back for the second time. We're going to talk about all things leadership and her new book, which will be out on February the 20th. But we have back Jamie Kerm Lima, who was the founder of IT Cosmetics, sold for $1.2 billion with the B dollars in cash. And since then, she's been sharing her leadership ideas and insights with people all over the world. She is a New York Times bestselling author of the book, Believe It. And her newest book releases on February the 20th. It's called Worthy, How to Believe You're Enough and Transform Your Life. Jamie, welcome back to the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.
Craig, thank you so much for having me. This is going to be a power show. I'm so excited and just grateful to be here.
Hey,
so
last time you were on, it was a power show, so this one's going to be power times two.
People, yes.
catch us up. What have you been working on recently that's been exciting to you?
You know, we often learn business tools and strategies, and so much of it is really helpful in our leadership, in our life, you know, in our growth, in our journey, in our faith. And the last couple years has been such a huge focus on me in my life, and also on the realization that when we double our self-worth, we double our leadership. When we double our self-worth, we double our business. When we double our self-worth, we double our success. And, you know, what I've realized through kind of this blessing and journey of working so, so hard for a very long time to hit so many goals in business and in leadership and in life, and still arrive at them feeling like something's missing and feeling like I'm not enough. I've kind of been on this obsessive journey of realizing that there's a massive difference between self-worth and self-confidence. And that most of my life I've been working really, really hard to build self-confidence. And so, when we don't have self-worth, we sabotage things. We don't feel fulfilled. We feel like things are never enough. And the last couple of years, I've done that a few times in my life. And I've realized, oh, wow, I have a lot of self-confidence, but I have a lot of work to do on self-worth. So I've been obsessed with it. And that's why I wrote Worthy, because in so many instances, you know, we don't become what we want in life. We become what we believe we're worthy of. So that is what is lighting me up right now, that I'm just so excited to get out in the world, because when we change our self-worth, we change everything.
Well, we've been talking about this kind of offline for quite some time, and you've been telling me just your insights. And I'd love for you to share with our community a little bit, like, what's the difference if I've got self-confidence but not self-worth? What's the difference, and how does that impact my leadership?
Yes. Oh, this is so huge, Craig. This is the thing that, you know, the emoji on our phones where the head is kind of exploding. When I truly understood the difference between these two things, I felt like that emoji, and it has changed every aspect of my life. So, and this really applies for every person listening and to all areas of life. When you think about, okay, so self-confidence versus self-worth, they are so different, and we so easily confuse them. So self-confidence, while it is an internal trait, it's based so much on the external, on the things happening around us. It fluctuates, right? So self-confidence is our assessment of our own skills and abilities, our willingness to try and go for it. If we're winning or losing at that moment, how we feel we measure up and stack up compared to others, how much of the world's definition of success we believe we have. You know, there's studies that show like the boxer who wins the fight is automatically 30% more confident. And so our confidence rises and falls, and it's fragile and it fluctuates. Our self-worth is an identity level thing. Our self-worth is the innate, deep internal knowing that we are worthy of love and belonging exactly as we are.
So it's so interesting, Jamie. Just this week, I was talking to a business leader who had a multiple tens of millions of dollars exit. And he said, I've worked my whole life toward this. This changes everything. And he said, I feel empty on the inside. And so I think that almost every leader can relate to the, once I get this job, this number, reach this many people, have this many followers, you have this much influence, and then they get there and there is an emptiness. I'd love to hear a little bit about your personal journey, because you said, when I learned this, everything changed. So I want to learn a little bit. I want to hear the process of when you learned it. And I want you to take us back. How many years was it between when you started at Cosmetics and you sold to L'Oreal? How many years was that?
That was 8 years.
Okay, so there's an 8 year journey from a startup that looked like it was not going to make it for a long time, to over $1 billion exit. The emotions and the inner emotional durability, intelligence development inside of you during that 8 years must have been like 100 PhDs. I'd like to hear about your journey of what happened inside of you. Where was the confidence? Where was the worthiness? How did it evolve? When did you learn it? Tell us a little bit about that journey, because I think it'll help some leaders. Hey, Craig here. And we know that the quality of your decisions will determine the quality of your life. The problem is, a lot of us are not great decision makers. In episodes 145 and 147, we're learning the strategies for becoming strong, intentional decision makers. And we dig into delegating, emotions, making mistakes, timing, and so much more. In fact, there's so much to learn about decision making that it doesn't fit into two episodes. To help you build a specific plan to grow in your decision making, I've created an extra exclusive teaching you can only get as a part of our leadership community. It's a bonus episode called Discover Your Decision-Making Style, and it's only for those of you on our email list. Based on my research, there are 5 styles of decision-making, and my goal is to help you identify your dominant style and build a game-changing plan for making great decisions. Get it free by going to life.church/decision style, life.church/decision style, and we'll help you get better at making decisions. Now back to the episode.
Yeah, you know, it was a journey of having this idea, having this knowing, this, right? So many businesses start with that idea. And in fact, so many people who say, one day I want to run this business, I want to be a leader, I want to be a CEO, it often starts with that knowing inside. I think it feels like a still small voice saying, I'm made to do this. I'm born for this. I could do this. And we all have a sense of what that is. And I've always felt that. And then my journey from taking that leap and starting this company in my living room, you know, a lot of people see that the fairy tale highlight reel. They're like, wow, you know, Denny's Waitress built $1 billion company, $1.2 billion cash, all cash deal. Like, you know, first female CEO in L'Oreal's 100 plus year history of a brand, they see that part. But the real story was like the first 3 years, hundreds and hundreds of no's, rejections, people saying it's never going to work. And part of why I wrote Worthy, because it has over 20 tools in it. You know, my first book was really my story of my journey. Worthy is, how do you believe in yourself? What is the playbook? And it has 20 tools in that on how to build self-worth. And one of them is all about how when you change your relationship with rejection, you change your entire life. And I share a lot of the tools I went through and applied to be able to keep going, because the first 3+ years of the journey, I mean, it was hundreds and hundreds of no's. It was, you know, putting things out there and then not doing well. It was sort of like failure after failure. And a lot of us, you know, two things happen when we start to face a lot of rejection or have had a lot of failures, either presently or in the past, is, you know, we often, of course, it affects our confidence because it's an external thing happening. But where it hurts our self-worth is when we let it take root and we start to think we're a failure or we've had so many rejections, we're a reject. And that's when it can affect both. And my journey was filled with a lot of those. And I literally had to learn how to reframe rejection in that whole process and keep going and building and building and building. And what's wild, Craig, is like right now, 80% of women don't believe they're enough. 73% of men don't believe they're enough and feel they're inadequate. It's a real like underlying thing. So that's how it shows up. So then where this became a huge epiphany in my life, and to answer your question, I just want to kind of give it a little context to really make it not about me and just about how this kind of applies to all of our lives. We worked so hard. By the end of selling my business, I'd put in so many reps, meaning like 1,000 live shows on QVC. We'd won so many product awards. Like I believe so strongly in the quality of our product. Our customer just community, it was over 7 million people just in the US that were paying customers that were just the most incredible. I just felt so good about the shift in the beauty industry. I had so much confidence. We were growing so fast. We became number one in the US in luxury beauty in that industry, sold to L'Oreal in their largest US acquisition in history. I was so confident, right? The Forbes list came out, like all of these things I could have only dreamed of when I was a Denny's waitress. I couldn't even imagine. So that was all happening. I was so confident. And growing up, I had always watched Oprah in my living room. Mm-hmm. I always dreamed of one day meeting her. It was like a lifelong dream. Now, 40 years later, I had the opportunity to meet her. And then she invited me to her house for lunch. I went to her house. We had a 3-hour lunch, just me and her. It was better than I could have ever imagined. And at the very end of it, and imagine like this is your lifelong dream, right? For anyone listening, whoever your hero was from afar, or, you know, at the very end of it, she gives me her cell phone number and she says, you can call me anytime, call me anytime. And Craig, I left that day and I did not call her for over 4 years.
Wow.
And in that 4-year window, now remember, I was super confident. But what I didn't realize is there is a very big difference between business confidence, success, leadership confidence in your everything in the world, very big difference between that and self-worth. Mm-hmm. And in that 4-year window, I told myself stories like, oh, once I get the right thing to say, then I'm going to call her. Or everyone probably wants something from her. I want to prove I don't need anything. I had all these stories. And then one day I realized the real reason was that deep down inside, I didn't think I was worthy of being her friend. And that was the day where I just was like, oh my gosh. And I knew, like, when I get still and pray, I can feel in my soul the truth. Mm-hmm. And it was so clear to me that my mind, which is where self-doubt lives, was telling me I'm not worthy. But and deep down inside, I know I'm worth. Like, I'm a great friend. Like, everyone's lucky to be my friend because I'm such a good friend. Like, I know that to be true. And so that was the day that I picked up the phone and called her. And I realized, oh, wow, there's a massive difference between confidence and self-worth. Mm-hmm. And that day kind of changed everything. And so that's sort of, and that was about 3 years ago when I became sort of obsessed with studying the tools that build self-worth, because I don't want to spend my whole life, you know, and I'm just getting started, just like you are, Craig. We're just getting started. I have so much more to do and serve and give and create and ideate, and I don't want to do it all feeling like I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was doing forever. So that's the difference with self-worth is it's still, you become even more ambitious, by the way, when you build self-worth. Mm-hmm. You become even more ambitious because you realize, like, oh, even if I fall flat on my face or something doesn't go well, it might rattle my confidence, but it cannot touch my self-worth. Sure. So you kind of build this resiliency of going for things.
So this is fascinating to me, and I want you to kind of help coach me or some other leaders. Let's say that I'm a leader that is growing and I'm doing some things that I am proud of, but my self-worth is holding me back. So I won't go for, I won't launch the business, or I won't write the book, or I won't go in and ask for more responsibility. How do I get from that disbelief and low feeling of value? What do I need to change? And so I don't just improve my confidence, but I actually change my worth in a way that I will make the call. I will take the risk. What's something I can do?
Okay. I'm going in my head right now. Which tool do I dive into? Because there's so many in the book. You know, one that I go into that I love is how, you know, I'll just touch on this one briefly, but there's so many of us that have strong faith in our life. And for me, one of my quickest self-worth shortcuts is when I'm about to walk in a room and I do not feel qualified and I don't feel like I belong and I don't feel like I have what it takes, I will literally stop myself and I will intercept that. And I will ask myself, who am I going to believe? My own thoughts or God's word? Like in that moment, because what I've realized in my life is that for me, and maybe a lot of people might relate to this, that, you know, I believe I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that. And yet, if I'm listening to my own self-doubt, basically what I'm doing is actually trusting my thoughts and doubting God's word. So for me, one of the quickest, and this is just like quickest instantaneous self-worth shortcuts, is I always will ask myself when I start to doubt if I am enough, if I have what it takes, if I belong in the room, I'll literally just ask myself, who am I really doubting? And who am I going to choose to believe in this moment? And for me, you know, all of us are human, and I still, whether it's right before recording this show with you, whether it's walking on a stage, I still have thoughts of self-doubt and thoughts that I'm not enough. And so I have to apply these tools all the time. It's like a lifelong journey. But that's a real quick one for me. A much, much deeper one that I think would be of value for anyone listening right now, especially in leadership, because, you know, we'll hold back, we'll think, and we won't know why. We'll doubt our ideas. A lot of us, especially if our company is doing well or our year-end reviews are strong or our team's happy or our turnover's low, you know, and our numbers are great, we'll actually like stay complacent because we're afraid to mess that up. There's a lot of ways that this can manifest when we don't trust who we are or have, you know, self-worth issues. And so one of the most powerful things we can do is really reframe that fear around showing up as who we truly are, taking a risk and putting our ideas out there, and reframing that fear over what's going to happen when we do and if they don't go well. Because human beings are wired to avoid pain at all costs. And so like, it's why so many people, I will not include you in this, Craig, but so many people don't go to the gym because even though they know the outcome, they want the six pack abs, they want to feel really good, they want to improve their health, but the pain of working out like overpowers the positive outcomes that they know will come. Like we're just so wired to avoid pain, right? Which many, many years ago is a survival, you know, mechanism, but we're wired to avoid pain. And so what happens is we associate so much pain with failure or embarrassment or a potential outcome that might happen, or, you know, not feeling love and belonging if we share something that's off to other people or if we show up as who we truly are. And so we associate so much pain with it that then we don't go for it. We don't, you know, put our idea out there. We don't make the leadership call on our team that might feel risky. We don't share how we really feel. So, you know, there's a framework inside Worthy called the four R's. And this was huge and transformative in my journey of going through that phase of building the company where I was getting so much rejection and so many people that I valued their opinions and their input and their leadership. I valued it so much. And they were telling me they didn't think my idea was going to work. Right. So when you have that happening all around you, for a lot of us, it's painful. And rejection after rejection can be painful. And for a lot of us, we're like, oh, I don't want that, right? So we give up after one no or one failure or one rejection or five or 20. And in my journey, I wrote what's actually a whole separate book that was going to be called Change Your Relationship with Rejection, Change Your Life. But I didn't want to wait 2 years for it to come out because you know how long books can take. So it's a chapter in Worthy now. So it's chapter two in Worthy. It's the longest chapter in the book. I would love to take everyone through this really quick right now because you can apply it to your life literally from the show, like right now. If you imagine, so for everyone listening to us, if you imagine yourself getting rejected or failing at something, right? Just do this and no judgment. Be really, really honest with yourself right now. It's just you and you and me and Craig, but just be really honest with yourself. When you imagine yourself getting rejected or failing at something, what's the first thought that you think to your, and you're usually not aware of this, so don't think about it, but what's the first thought that goes through your head when you get rejected or you fail at something? Craig, what is it for you?
I think I feel embarrassed.
Embarrassed.
And almost yeah. even, and maybe even like ashamed, like I shouldn't have tried, you know, who was I?
Yeah. Okay. So everyone listening to Craig, I'm embarrassed, or maybe I sometimes think like I'm ashamed or I shouldn't have tried. Who was I to try? So think about what your first thought was that you just had for everyone listening. For me, my whole life, it was like, oh, yep, there's proof again. I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. Proof I'm not enough, right? I've asked groups of leaders this in a room. The answers, oh my gosh, Craig, I was at a CEO summit and literally people started crying. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this mm-hmm. at a CEO summit before. And people were sharing words like, I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm a failure. I'm a reject. I shouldn't have even tried. Mm-hmm. Who do I think I am? Like, I knew that would happen. I mean, the stuff that they were sharing. So right now listening to me, Craig, that thought that you just had, for me, I'm not enough, right? That is your current definition of rejection or failure. Meaning, like in everything in life, it's like the meaning we assign to something. And for so many people, that thought you just had is the meaning, without even being aware of it often, the meaning we assign to failure or rejection when it happens in our life. And for so many of us, that meaning is so painful. We stay stuck because we don't want anything to do with that, right? So we won't put our idea out there. We won't do a board presentation or a quarterly call or any of it where we're putting our ideas out there because we don't want that. Mm-hmm. And so the four R's that I go through in chapter 2 of Worthy is, the first R is reveal. And that is revealing your current definition of rejection or mm-hmm. failure. So we just did that together. Yep. Whatever thought you had, listening to me and Craig, that is your current definition of rejection or failure. And the second R is redefine. And, you know, when you redefine your definition of rejection or failure to something that's actually empowering, but it has to be true. You can't just make it up and be like, oh, I'll shift it to something positive. If you don't believe it's true, it's not going to work. But this happened to me, and it was company changing when I was building at Cosmetics. We were a few years into just constant rejections. I had one real painful rejection in particular, literally crying under the covers that day. Didn't know how our business was going to make it. And I just decided to literally Google every business leader, thought leader, world changer, who had ever, you know, built incredible businesses, who had ever been an amazing leader, who had ever helped move humanity forward. And I just started reading all their stories. And it was like every single one of them has faced countless rejection and countless failures. They're just the brave ones willing to keep going anyways. And that day I wrote out, like, rejection does not mean I'm not enough. Rejection or failure means like, I'm one of the brave ones willing to go for it. Like, I'm not going to live my life on the sidelines, like living in regret. Like, I'm one of the brave ones putting my ideas out there, trying to build this company, right? Trying to lead a team. And I believe that to be true. And so what I started doing is then anytime I got another rejection, I would catch myself be tempted to think, oh yeah, there's proof I'm not enough. But I would intercept that with, no, this rejection is a victory. It means it's a reminder I'm one of the brave ones willing to go for it. And I believe that was true. And I started retraining the meaning I attached with rejection, failure, until I didn't even need to remind myself anymore. And I started building a toolbox of definitions I believe to be true. Another one that I love is rejection is God's protection, right? And every time that would happen, I would just have a faith that is true. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I didn't see it right away, but over time, I'd always be like, oh, thank goodness that particular person didn't believe in me. Because had I let them invest, I would, you know, wouldn't own much of my company anymore, or had I let them invest, they would have changed who I am or the vision of the company. Or so I started amassing these definitions. And so step two of redefine is, you know, taking a moment and just writing out some new definitions of rejection that are true for you. For some people, you might say, oh, put in the reps. This rejection means I got another rep in and putting in the reps, right? Like I'm one step closer to, like, it could be whatever speaks true to you. And the third R is my favorite. And I actually think this will be the most powerful for leaders, because a lot of leaders are crushing it right now. They have everything in order in their life. They're disciplined, all the things. And they're still not sure why they have self-worth struggles. And a lot of times this is from past. It could even be growing up, rejections and failures that we let take root at an identity level. Because, and I shared this really briefly earlier, but for a lot of us, we've had, you know, different forms of rejection or different failures in our life. And we've let them, we've almost convinced ourselves at an identity level, we're a failure. And then some of us can overcompensate really well, and we can do incredible things and achieve and achieve and build and all the stuff. But if we still have that piece of our identity lingering, it can again arrive at, take us at those three levels of self-worth challenges in our leadership or in our life. So the third R in the framework inside the rejection chapter of Worthy is called revisit. Hmm. And what I love is you can revisit past failures or rejections in your life. And by the way, some of these might be personal. They might be inside your own family with loved ones. It could be things that happened growing up. It could be more recent things. But when you revisit them and then you reveal what is the meaning I'm attaching to those rejections and failures, and then you go through that two steps of redefining them. So one thing I've done in my life, you know, just two quick examples, you know, I'm adopted. And for a lot of my life, I always kind of felt abandoned or alone. My parents who raised me are amazing. They worked so much. And I always kind of had this story of being unwanted or abandoned or rejected. And I used this tool to literally redefine. I'm like, oh, no. I redefined the meaning I attached to it with something I know is true, which is I'm chosen. Like my birth parents were together one time ever. God chose me to be conceived. And then my birth mom, she didn't have to have me. Her life would have been way easier had she not had me, but she went into hiding and she had me. I'm like, she chose to have me. And then my adopted parents chose to raise me. So I literally replaced it with something I believe to be true, which is I'm chosen. And it's now no longer a self-worth identity issue for me that can come out in other areas of my life. I do these steps, these four R's, the fourth R is revel in the fact that you are no longer worried about rejection or failure. The more I apply these, the more resilient you'll become, the less fearful of rejection and failure. And the most beautiful part is it helps you remove labels from past rejections or failures that might have taken root in your identity and your self-worth. So just applying this one thing, it can change every aspect of your life and just reframe how you put things out there. Because people are like, how'd you build a $1 billion business? Well, there's a lot of things that I did wrong. But one of the things I did really right is I can sit here and tell you I'm fearless when it comes to rejection or failure. And that feels so freeing.
So I want to wrap back to something you said, Jamie, and it's so powerful. Thank you for telling your story. And I want our listeners to hear this and feel it. So in 8 years, you started with an idea, you and your husband out of your house, and you one by one, decision by decision, faith risk by faith risk, rejection after rejection, overcame the odds. Everyone told you could never do it. You weren't the right person. It wasn't the right idea. It wasn't the right time. And you created one of the most successful cosmetic businesses, sold it for $1.2 billion, then continued on as the CEO. From there, you now have written, you're a New York Times bestselling author. You are close friends with Oprah, work with her intimately. You travel with Tony Robbins. You are wanted on stages across the world. And yet you just said you still get nervous, feel unworthy, feel like you're not enough at times. And I want to just take all that and say what I wrote down in my notes is you cannot succeed your way to self-worth. You can't do it. You can't out-succeed your insecurities. And so you have done more than just about anybody I'll ever interact with in your lifetime, and yet you still get nervous walking up on a stage or feel unworthy to have someone as your friend. I want you to take me one more time through what actually changes when you start to believe you're worthy. How does that change your interaction with both your relationship with success, your relationship with failure? How are you different today, knowing you haven't arrived, but how is Jamie different because of how you see yourself today?
Yeah, it's really the first time in my life that I'm feeling fulfilled and enough, mm-hmm. despite how much I'm achieving at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then when I do work really, really hard, like I'm, you know, for worthy, it's the best work of my life. I am more passionate about this than anything I've done. I'm working harder than I ever have.
Let me ask you this. This book, we've talked about it for years now. You've been working on it. It is amazing. It's going to do well. What if it flops?
What do you do?
What if it flops? How do you respond?
If it flops, I'll be like, my first response right now will be strategic and unemotional at this point. Cause I'll be like, I know how good it is. So how do I get it out? How do I get it into more hands? Like, it'll be very unemotional, very strategic because
what if that doesn't work? You try again and it still does work. This is your second book. I've done a lot. And what I'll tell you right now is some do well, some don't. Some of my favorites that I believe are the best did not do well. What if this one doesn't do well? And then you come at it again and you believe in it doesn't do well. What does that do to you?
So at this point in my life, now in my past, it would be different. At this point in my life, I'm so clear, especially after doing the work the last 3 years that I've done, being obsessed with building self-worth. I am so clear on how the worst thing that could happen if worthy doesn't do well is my self-confidence is hurt and maybe I'm really bummed for a while. But my self-worth and my fulfillment is not touched. Mm-hmm. And this is probably the first time in my life I can ever say that.
Why is that? What's different?
So I used to have such low self-worth. So by the way, when Believe It made New York Times, right? And it was on the New York Times 9 weeks in a row. I felt so much self-confidence. And Craig, I still felt like something was missing then. Mm-hmm. I still felt like I wasn't enough. And for anyone who is an achiever, a high performer, and you're like, why don't I feel like it's enough? It's because underneath it all, your self-worth is not at the same level. It's not matching your success. It's not matching your self-confidence. So I'm to the point now where this is like a daily journey of implementing all the tools I go through in Worthy, right? So I completely know how to reframe rejection and failures. You know, I would have such a strong, God forbid this happens, by the way, but let's just say it does. I would have such a strong faith that for whatever reason, like I know my life was divinely orchestrated. Like I'm very fearless about rejection and failure now. And I no longer feel like I'm a rejected person or a failure, which a lot of my life I did. So for me now, failures, no, I mean, the worst case, and this is what stronger self-worth does, which again, I'm 46. I've only had strong self-worth now for probably the last 2 years of my life. That's it.
I believe in this message so much and it oozes out. It's going to help so many people. You have succeeded. You're on the top of your game of every field and now you're just developing self-worth. Let's say that you didn't. Let's say the business did fail and you never wrote a book and you're struggling to make ends meet. How do you develop your self-worth in that situation?
I think the number one thing is awareness. So here's where I feel blessed because I believe our steps are ordered. I believe that we make it through things and we still don't find purpose yet unless we help other people make it through those things that we've made it through, right? And why I'm saying that is I feel very blessed to have had the kind of success that the world tells us will make us fulfilled, only to learn that's not it. Only to learn by going through it all, and I bet a lot of people listening can relate to this, you can accomplish all the things or even one of the things, and you still know when you feel like something's missing or that it's not enough, you still know, oh, that's not it. And so it was by that journey of me, you know, selling the company, from achieving all these goals I've always had, meeting my lifelong hero, all these things, that I realized, oh, to use your words, Craig, that I'm obsessed with now, you cannot out-success your self-worth. Mm-hmm. And I went through all that to learn it. But you don't need to go through all that to learn the tools. So right now, I mean, I remember the days I was a struggling waitress, like grateful if someone threw dimes on the table for my tip versus just leaving because the Denny's I worked at was always late with pancakes. Mm-hmm. People would get so mad, they'd be like an hour to get your pancakes out. They would leave with no tip. So if somebody, like, I remember those days, these tools in Worthy are exactly as powerful no matter where you're at in your journey. Because every one of us has the same fears, the same struggles, the same, you know, ability to apply these definitions in our life. I mean, there's a whole chapter on, are the people around you a circle or a cage? Hmm. And how that can impact your self-worth. So important. There's so many tools in here. I go through all the lies that lead to self-doubt and then how to sort of ignite the truths that wake up worthiness. And what I love is whether, you know, wherever you fall in the 80% of women who don't believe they're enough and the 73% of men who don't believe they're enough, which is most all of us. And frankly, the people who said that they felt that they were, who knows if they're telling the truth, because in all the research, because this is a real universal thing. So, you know, if you are a stay-at-home parent and you're just like, why do I keep making friends with the PTA mom who is not good for my soul? It doesn't matter what situations we are in life. Mm. Our self-worth is the ceiling mm-hmm. of our interpersonal relationships. It's the ceiling of, you know, if, you know, I remember waitressing at Denny's thinking like, I should like be a manager here. But at the time, I don't think I had enough confidence or worth to believe that was possible. And I think these tools are life-changing, no matter your life circumstances right now, professionally or personally. And they really apply so much to all of us. I mean, there's a lot of people literally just spending their entire lives thinking, if I look a certain way, mm-hmm. and I'll be enough. Or if I gain enough popularity on social media, then I'll be enough.
Sure.
Or if I'm a perfectionist and memorize the Bible cover to cover, then I'll be enough. Mm-hmm. And I think it's this epiphany that, oh, those things are important for your confidence and your growth, but they don't lead to feeling enough.
Sure.
And why it's so critical to build self-worth underneath it all. If you really want to have true joy and fulfillment, you know, in your life.
Well, Jamie, I want to just thank you for your friendship, first of all. You and Paula have been great friends to our family, and your work on this subject, you're such an inspiration, and we're both people of faith, and I like what you said earlier, are you going to believe what you think about you or what God says about you? And I always try to tell people, you are not who others say you are, you're not what you did, you're not even who you think you are, but you are who God says you are, and and ultimately, you know, if we try to be enough, my theology would say we actually cannot be on our own, and we need the help of our Heavenly Father. And with Him, then we can be enough. And so your message, Worthy, it is out on February the 20th. It's actually the same day my new book comes out, Think Ahead. So we will be book launch buddies on the
yes.
same day. And the book is called Worthy, How to Believe You're Enough and Transform Your Life. You have made such a difference in my life and the lives of so many people. And I just want to say thank you. If people want to find out more about you or get the book, what's the best way to find you?
President of Craig Groeschel and Amy Groeschel fan club online. I'm so grateful for you and Amy too. And just like, yeah, the blessing you are to me and to the whole world. Thank you. And worthybook.com. You can find Worthy anywhere books are sold, Target, Amazon, independent bookstores. And there's like free gifts on worthybook.com as well for anyone who grabs them. Donating 100% of the proceeds for it. And it's really just like my greatest life's work. But I'm so excited for the impact that it's going to have. And I believe so much in it. And so it's just like, it's really an honor just to talk about it with you, Craig, and just to share it with everyone. And I hope this episode blessed people too. So if I knew some of these things, oh gosh, even just a few years ago, the amount of nights crying myself to sleep, I would have saved, like all of it. So I'm honored and grateful. So thank you.
Well, I'm grateful to you, and the book is going to help so many people. And to our community, if this content's helpful to you, maybe share on social media, tag me, tag Jamie, and our teams may repost that as well. The book is called Worthy, and it will help you grow in your leadership. It'll help you get better. And we know that everyone wins when the leader gets better. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.